Cultural trends now fashionable in the West favor an egalitarian approach to life. People like to think of human beings as the output of a perfectly engineered mass production machine. Geneticists and sociologists especially go out of their way to prove, with an impressive apparatus of scientific data and formulations, that all men are naturally equal. And if some are more equal than the others, this is attributable to nurture and not to nature. I take exception to this general view. It is my firm conviction, supported by years of observation and experimentation, that men are not equal, that some are stupid and others are not, and that the difference is determined by nature and not by cultural forces or factors. One is stupid in the same way one is red-haired. One belongs to the stupid set as one belongs to a blood group. A stupid man is born a stupid man by an act of providence. Although convinced that fraction sigma of human beings are stupid and that they are so because of genetic traits, I am not a reactionary trying to reintroduce surreptitiously class or race discrimination. I firmly believe that stupidity is an indiscriminate privilege of all human groups and is uniformly distributed according to a constant proportion. This fact is scientifically expressed by the second basic law, which states that the probability that a certain person be stupid is independent of any other characteristic of that person. In this regard, nature seems indeed to have outdone herself. It is well known that nature manages, rather mysteriously, to keep constant the relative frequency of certain natural phenomena. For instance, whether men proliferate at the North Pole or at the equator, whether the matching couples are developed or developing, whether they are black or white, the female-to-male ratio among the newly born is a constant, with a very slight prevalence of males. We do not know how nature achieves this remarkable result, but we know that in order to achieve it, nature must operate with large numbers. The most remarkable fact about the frequency of stupidity is that nature succeeds in making this frequency equal to the probability sigma quite independently from the size of the group. Thus, one finds the same percentage of stupid people whether one is considering very large groups or dealing with very small ones. No other set of observable phenomena offers such striking proof of the powers of nature. The evidence that education has nothing to do with the probability sigma was provided by experiments carried out in a large number of universities all over the world. One may distinguish the composite population that constitutes a university in five major groups, namely, the blue-collar workers, the white-collar employees, the students, the administrators, and the professors. Whenever I analyzed the blue-collar workers, I found that the fraction sigma of them were stupid. As sigma's value was higher than I expected, first law, paying my tribute to fashion, I thought at first that segregation, poverty, lack of education were to be blamed. But moving up the social ladder, I found that the same ratio was prevalent among the white-collar employees and among the students. More impressive still were the results among the professors. Whether I considered a large university or a small college, a famous institution or an obscure one, I found that the same fraction sigma of the professors were stupid. So bewildered was I by the results that I made a special point to extend my research to a specially selected group, to a real elite, the Nobel laureates. The result confirmed nature's supreme powers. Sigma fraction of the Nobel laureates were stupid. This idea was hard to accept and digest, but too many experimental results proved its fundamental veracity.